Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Well, Fontaine's DC have announced a second night at Slane Castle next summer, and music journalist at the Irish Mail on Sunday, Danny McElhinney, is with me on the programme. Danny, we only spoke 2 days ago after Fontaine's announced they were to headline Slane on the 26th of June, Saturday next year, but now this morning they've confirmed they're back on stage on Sunday the 27th.
Hello again, Andrea. Another great day for the parish.
it's going to be pretty surprising, though, that they're doing two nights, no?
I think when they saw the amount of people who registered on the pre-sale, which went live just this morning, and I think you could register for yesterday, MCD and Ticketmaster and Festival Republic, whoever the total number, I think it's MCD, they went, oh, hello, we can add a second. And they know immediately. They know from previous experience by how many people register, how many people are looking to buy pre-sale, if they can go a second night, and they've done it. I'm delighted.
So, but the tickets actually go on sale for both nights. It's tomorrow morning, isn't it? It's the pre-sale, though. There's tickets that are already available, or the registration for them are already available.
Exactly. There's an artist pre-sale. There's a pre-sale for fans, but for the great general public, it'll tomorrow. So it'll be hopefully the Ticketmaster website and the servers will not crash, because there'll be enormous demand. Because, as you point out, unusually. What often happens is there'll be one night and that would sell out, and then they have a second night. So what you've got is people, everybody going for the 2 days, if you know what I mean. The entire Ticketmaster server will be trying to manage people buying for one of 2 days. So that's slightly unusual, and let's see and hope that it works.
What makes Slane so special, Danny?
I think it's the actual setup, the physical setup of it. You've got the castle literally on the hill, and then a natural amphitheatre going down, you know, to the right of the Boyne. And it's just, it is iconic, and so many bands who have played there have used it to film DVDs, and it can take up to 100,000 and more. And I was at Springsteen in 85, and it was certainly north of 100,000, and probably the same for Queen. Now, I'm saying, like, unofficially, the Garda Clicker registered about 100,000 for each concert. But it is such a wonderful natural amphitheatre. If it's sunny, like it was for Springsteen in 85, marvellous. If it's horrible and wet, like it was for Queen in 86, not so much.
Not yet. And it's the weather for sure. Can put a dampener on things fairly quickly. Where, though, will Fontaine's rank amongst some of the greatest Slane acts to take the stage?
I think as I was pointing out about Fontaine's DC, Fontaine's DC are not a natural, massive, crowd-pleasing headline act. The interesting thing to me watching them at Electric Picnic is, yes, there was a massive, massive crowd. Probably Amble pulled the biggest crowd of the weekend. Mm. But they pretty much do their own thing. You won't get Graeme chatting the lights are going, hello, Slane, how are we doing? We're having a great time. You know, let's sway our hands. None of that. They play their set. They play their songs with great intensity, and the fans go with them. But don't be expecting crowd-pleasing antics from Graeme Chatner or any of the band. You know, there'll be no, like, you know.
But even in somewhere like Slane, is there not an expectation, though, Danny, that you might change the kind of on-stage performance?
They might have a more, you know, something on the stage. Like, it'll obviously be a much, much bigger stage. But don't expect, like, any, as I say, from Graeme and the band, like, you know, crowd-pleasing antics. Like, you know, even when Springsteen played there in 85, I remember, like, Bruce Springsteen didn't interact a lot with the crowd. That came much, much later. Slane was by far the biggest concert he'd ever played in 85. And it was only later that he became the great, great communicative showman. I think Slane taught him that. Like, you won't be having, like, Freddie Mercury-style antics, you know, like, you know, having 80,000 people clapping their hands to Boys in the Betterland. No, that won't happen. It'll be much more like a Kings of Leon gig when they headlined, where it was like they stood, they played, they thanked. They might have said once or twice, this is amazing, thank you so much. But as I say, you're not going to see antics. You're not going to see Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
You're not going to, you know, running across the stage and making sure everybody's having a good time. They'll just assume that we are. by the fact that they're playing their music from their then five albums. If they'll have five albums out by the time they
play. If they have two sold out nights at Slane Castle next June. We've been asking listeners to get in touch, Danny, with their Slane memories this afternoon. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. How will it compare to the first ever Slane gig? And this morning, I believe this was also your first ever gig too, Danny.
My first ever gig, my dear sister Marie took me. I was 15 years of age, and every band that I seen from Sweet Savage onwards, that was like my first band. So we were coming down the hill when Sweet Savage played. We were in situ when the Bureau played, who were brilliant. They were offshoot from Dixie's Midnight Runners, and an amazing band from Australia that enough people don't talk about anymore called Rose Tattoo. The lead singer was Angry Anderson. He did the wedding theme of Neighbours, if you remember that. The little bald man that did that was Angry Anderson, and he was the lead singer of an amazing band called Rose Tattoo, who were giving ACDC a run for the money at the time. They were amazing. And then Hazel O'Connor, who was big. And then a little old band from Dublin called U2. They played, and a lot of the people were there to see U2. I don't think they covered themselves in glory on the day. They started off with a song with an Ellen Piper. It was a strange setup. And then Thin Lizzy came on, did a Thin Lizzy do. They landed by helicopter backstage. And it was quite the amazing gig. Only about 18,000 people there at the Wanderer.
So that was 1981, and that was U2 supporting Thin Lizzy.
U2 supporting Thin Lizzy. And of course, U2 would go on then 20 years later to do it themselves twice in late August and early September.
Yeah, were you there for both those gigs?
For the U2 gigs? No, I was not, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because Slane can be a little awkward to get to. I mean, like, my last big memory of Slane is 95 with REM, which again was a lovely hot summer's day. But REM, much maybe fun things to see. They at that time, they were kind of very, they weren't going out of their way to communicate very much with the audience. They had the bass player Mike Mills had an appendectomy, Bill Berry, the drummer had an illness as well. And they pretty much, excuse me, just played their music. And again, it was hot and sunny. It was a great day. It was a fantastic day. Oasis played.
From 1981, Danny, at Slane, to 1985. Was Bruce Springsteen the best ever Slane gig you attended?
In my opinion, absolutely, it was the best one that I ever attended. And he started off with that song. He came out pretty unobtrusively on stage, and he started into Bar in the USA, and 100,000 people went nuts. He was the only act on the day. It was a three-hour set, three-hour plus. It was the hottest day of 1985. It was amazing. I still would say Springsteen was the best.
Because of his performance, Danny?
He was at that very, very height of his powers. You know, albums like Born to Run and The River had put him up there. But, like, it was the Born in the USA album where he went overground, where he started having proper chart hits in America, Britain, and Ireland. And, you know, when he was announced for Slane, it was like, yeah, but I don't think people thought it would be as big an event and have such an impact culturally on Ireland at the time, because it was a sellout as well. Mm. You know, it was. I remember Jamaican, I think, was the promoter at the time, if I'm right. And people were going, like, you know, the ticket prices, I think, at the time were 12 quid, which was thought to be astronomical.
Right.
You know, but it was a moment. He was the biggest artist in the world at that month, at that week, and he was coming to play Slane Castle. And again, it was the biggest concert. He said on stage, this is the biggest concert I've ever played. And he hasn't played many more bigger than 100,000 people at Slane, and he loves the place. Well, you know, that was the beginning of his love affair with Ireland.
Listeners getting in touch telling us about their favourite ever Slane gig. The best was U2 in 2001, hands down 25 years ago, my favourite ever gig. Another listener too pointing out that the first band to play Slane twice, U2, back in 2001. Another listener telling me that the best gig too had to have been Bruce Springsteen back in 1985. I absolutely loved it. But there's quite a few listeners telling us they weren't impressed with this one, Danny. And the texters, Danny, say the reason they didn't like Queen in 1986 was because it was a total washout weather-wise.
I would totally concur. Queen was such a disappointment. I had seen Queen indoors in the RDS in 1984, 2 years previously, with 6,000 people on the Works Tour. They were amazing. The Live Aid effect in 85 meant that they could play Slane in 86. It lashed. The first band that myself and my friends saw were the Bangles. We were coming down the hill, and we got to the very front, near the very front, and poor Susanna Hoffs looked more like Alice Cooper. The mascara was running. They gave it socks, so they sounded more like a punk band. They really, really went for it. And then Chris Rea was a bit soporific. And Queen, there was controversy about Freddie's cape. If I don't know if people remember that, if they're old enough. Freddie Mercury, on every gig on the tour, would have a Union Jack cape, and then he'd turn it around and reveal the flag of the country that they were in. And they wouldn't do it for Ireland because he thought it would be too controversial for people up north coming into the gig to see a tricolour. It was ridiculous. So they didn't do that for Ireland, and that caused a little bit of a stir. It was so too wet. You couldn't get into it. They played all the songs. They did what Queen do. But yeah, the rain can have a horrible effect. And again, on a natural amphitheatre, people tend to slide down a bit down the hill. No, Queen, not one of the better ones for me.
Well, let me just give you a flavour of some of the other texters today, right? Harry Styles, Luke Combs, and now Fontaines DC. None of them are Slane worthy, says this listener, Dally. Another texter getting in touch to tell me, I'm DJing for 40 years. No one has ever asked me to play a Fontaines track before 2026. Every act that has ever played at Slane before has had huge commercial success across the country and most of the world before they earned the right to play at Slane. I think it's a real departure from the norm for sure. And another listener says, Fontaines must be playing inside Slane Castle because I think they're only going to get a handful of hipsters that want to see them.
Well, that's a generational thing. And as I say, I'm old enough to remember the first Slane 81. You've got to move with the times. Back when the Stereophonics headlined, I mean, the Stereophonics had a couple of albums at the time. The Verve had two albums when they headlined. I mean, people are very much of their generation. The DJ who said that, I've never had a request for Fontaines DC. Well, I mean, the thing about Fontaines DC, I mean, they're not a mainstream band. This is the thing about it. They are not your mainstream crowd-pleasing band. They are a band from left field who the crowd have grown and grown and grown and grown for. However, they're also the biggest Irish band at the moment. They're the biggest rock band, I would argue, in both Britain and Ireland, and they're making serious inroads. They headlined Reading, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Who else would you want there? I mean, people who... I would love to see AC/DC there, yes. I would love to see Green Day there, yes. But, arguably, Fontaines is here, the biggest Irish band since the Cranberries, and up there with U2. So who else would you have?
Who else would you expect maybe to be there? Listener says, my best Slane gig was Neil Young and Pearl Jam. I was 14 years of age. I thumbed from Cross Maglen to Slane because I couldn't afford the bus fare at the time. And Jer has got in touch to say, Fontaines headlining Slane, gimme a break. Good band, nothing exceptional, blown up by the media because they're Irish. Just goes to show how ordinary modern music has become. Would love to have got a look in years ago. Please don't compare them to the likes of Queen or the Stone Roses or Thin Lizzy.
Everybody has their favourite band of a generation. You can't turn around and say Fontaines DC are not deserving because record sales, streams, audience attendances at Electric Picnic and Reading and places like that, Glastonbury, would tell you something different. I would ask that person, when is the last time they went to an outdoor concert? When's the last time that they went to see a band in a small club to support live music? Fontaines DC, I first saw Fontaines DC, as I said to you, on Monday in the Workman's Club with the James McGovern Band to about 150 people. And then they migrated to play in the Button Factory. Then they migrated to play on up at Vicar Street. It's not that long since they were headlining Vicar Street, and that was meant to be an achievement. They absolutely, totally deserve to the headliner of Slane in 2027. And anybody who says different should go back and listen to the albums that give them comfort in their middle age.
Yeah, well, didn't you say on Monday, I think, they're only the third ever Irish act to headline Slane after U2 and Thin Lizzy.
And the other two are Thin Lizzy and U2, but who else would you put there? Who else would you... I mean, the only other Irish band that I could see who might be able to would be Dermot Kennedy, because, you know, he is that big. You know, but he's playing, I think he's playing, he played the Aviva Stadium.
He did, yeah, two
but
nights,
I mean, I'm delighted
he?
To see it. Absolutely. And Dermot, fair play to him, he's got a draw. But these people who say, I've never heard of Fontaines DC, therefore they don't deserve to play. Well, you've got your head in your sand. Music moves on and evolves. Mm. I mean,
well, regardless of that, they are going to play two nights at Slane Castle, Saturday the 26th, Sunday the 27th of June. The tickets are on sale tomorrow. They start, it's $89.25, isn't it, for tickets, Danny?
Cheap at half the price.
Yeah, all right. Danny McElhinney, listen, thanks a million to you, Danny, for joining us again on the programme. Danny McElhinney there, music journalist with the Irish Mail on Sunday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.